Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service this day. We're so glad that you have joined us, whether you are joining us online or whether you have joined us in person down in the auditorium. A special shout out to those who have joined us in our facility here. We are glad that you have joined us. I know that Dandy mentioned this at the front end of our service. But our communion service is going to be tomorrow night on Zoom, so we can all join together on Zoom at 7 o'clock, and we hope that you will join us. Tyler and I are going to be leading that service together. Monday night is our normal weekly prayer meeting, but the whole thing is going to be committed to a time of worship, prayer, sharing in communion together, and we hope that you will join us for that special time, probably about a half an hour to three quarters of an hour together. So we welcome you to join us tomorrow evening again at 7 o'clock. Today we are continuing in our series we have entitled On Course. And in this series, Tyler and I are exploring with you a number of areas of our lives and inviting you to consider whether you are living on course in those areas, particularly as the reality of this pandemic has impacted virtually every area of our lives. But it's our belief that we can navigate this time well. Not that it's going to be easy, because it hasn't been and it won't be, but we believe that with the scriptures as our guide and the Spirit of Jesus to empower us and help us, we can actually become better people in the midst of this pandemic and be a light to the world around us with Jesus' help. You see, we cannot simply wait for this to be over. We have to adapt and respond and discern God's will for us, even in the midst of these challenging times. I think I mentioned this before, but if my 96-year-old mother-in-law can learn how to use Zoom, then maybe we can adapt a little too. Now, the topic that we are going to be focusing on this morning is the family. And I expect we all recognize that families as a whole, they've had to navigate enormous change and stress as this pandemic has touched our lives. If your family has school-age children or children in daycare, then the speed in which you had to adapt back in March was incredibly challenging, stressful. Trying to navigate isolation and homeschooling and all the activities we took for granted that no longer existed was incredibly disruptive. Every family has had to work through how to respond to health organization recommendations as well as government guidelines for isolating. Depending on the health and age of parents and grandparents, this has led to many difficult conversations and decisions. Some families have had to navigate loss of a loved one in these difficult days. And as the pandemic has continued, conversations and decisions continued, the ups and downs, and now we're going through that all again as we've been going through this fall season, the debate around school openings, increased cases, and so on. Now, none of this is news to you, I know, but simply to acknowledge that this has been a stressful and at times upsetting, challenging time for families. And while we will never know the full impact, we are certainly hearing of increased domestic violence, family breakdown under the stress of this pandemic. And yet, there have also been positives. As parents have spent more time at home, often working from home, as children and youth have also been less busy, there has been more time for games at home, the time for extended conversations. For many families, there has been more contact, more support, and actually a deepening of relationships. The question I'm raising today is, how is your family doing? Are you on course? And I think that kind of begs the question, well, what does a healthy family look like anyway? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Now, let me be clear that I don't think there is such a thing as a perfect family. In my experience, both as a pastor and as part of a family, first as a son and then as a father, every family has its own dysfunction or challenges or difficulties. And we see that right through the pages of Scripture. The Old Testament pages in particular are filled with stories of messy family dynamics. And the good news is that God works with and in imperfect families. You see, families are simply made up of imperfect people, imperfect parents, imperfect teenagers, imperfect children. Even some of the grandparents I know are less than perfect. But the family is important. And we see that too right through the pages of Scripture. One of the Ten Commandments is addressed specifically to the family and indicates one foundational dynamic or characteristic of healthy families. And we're beginning our look at the Scriptures here. Deuteronomy 5:16, referred to as the fifth commandment of the ten, says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." These foundational Ten Commandments for a strong and vibrant, godly and prosperous society make, of course, the health of the family as an essential requirement, a building block. And the characteristic that is highlighted in this fifth commandment is honor. Honor. When centuries later, after the establishment of the church, the Apostle Paul writes to the church about the implications of Christ's death and resurrection and life in Him. And in the book of Ephesians, he addresses briefly the family and affirms this Old Testament commandment. Listen to these instructions, Ephesians 6:1-3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Both the Old and New Testament affirms both the critical importance of the family and the importance of healthy relationships within the family. And that is summarized by this word, honor. Now, Paul's more direct instruction for children to obey their parents in the Lord flows from the establishment of honor and is part of living it out. And I just want to focus for these moments on honor. What does it mean to honor someone? Well, it means in general to hold them in high regard. It means to see their value. It means to cherish them as a treasure, as a gift in your life. It means to treat a person with respect. I believe that foundational to any strong and healthy family is honor. And I think it's actually hard to overstate how important this is. Interestingly, when the Apostle Paul writes to the church and addresses them as a spiritual family, he pens these instructions, Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves. Children are to honor their parents. And of course, it's really the responsibility of parents to ensure this takes place when children are young. But as children grow, the dynamics of mutual honoring take place, valuing each other, seeing each other as made in the image of God and of great worth, treating each member of the family with respect. Let's be clear that children learn how to honor by the model and example the parents set, both in how they treat each other and other people in their lives. Well, how does honor get expressed? Well, chiefly in two ways, by our words and by our actions. How we speak to each other, not only our words, but the tone of our words, either expresses honor or a lack of respect. And of course, actions will communicate volumes about how we value, respect, cherish another person. Sadly, our culture today is moving in the direction where people are not treated with honor. I personally am disgusted by some of the ways our political leaders are communicating. Families today will need to fight against imitating the world and allowing the world to shape how relationships are conducted in the family. Listen, folks, you can disagree in the family and still honor each other. Speaking respectfully, not name-calling, managing your emotional response, looking for ways to affirm and encourage, and so on. Christian families need to be leading the way on this. Is honoring one another, a high value in your family, in your relationships? How can you make it even stronger? Let me leave that one there for you to reflect on. I now want to turn to a key passage in the Old Testament that is instructive regarding a second characteristic of a healthy family. And it follows almost directly after the reciting of the Ten Commandments that we looked at, the Sixth Commandment just earlier, and is actually part of the context. And I'm calling this family characteristic faith transition. The passage is Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Listen to these important words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The first two verses of this passage are referred to as the Shema. It's incredibly important to a faithful Jew. It's repeated daily as part of their daily prayers, devotion to God. You may recall that Jesus, too, cited the command in verse 5 as the most important of the commandments. That is, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is an incredibly important passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. But what I want to focus on is what comes next. And that is how this faith, how this loving of God, how these Ten Commandments, how the guidelines from God are to be passed on from generation to generation. And that is in the context of the family. More specifically, in the day-to-day reality of living life. It's in that context that the commands and the truths of the Scriptures are to be talked about. They are to be ever present in our lives. We are to kind of immerse ourselves in them so that we're always aware of God's direction, God's reality, God's truth. You see, likewise, the Apostle Paul adds this word of instruction to the passage we looked at in Ephesians 6. Verse 4 says of Ephesians 6, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." The same idea. Now, by addressing fathers, I don't believe Paul is minimizing or excluding the role of mothers, but maybe rather ensuring that fathers step up and do their part. Not leave this to mothers is the more likely tendency, right, fathers? But I believe that the broad point, taking these passages together, is that parents have the responsibility to pass the faith along. Now, as a church family, we are so very blessed to have Joanne and Johnny lead our children and youth ministries, and they do so with great devotion and creativity and commitment. But these are never to replace the role of the home as the primary place where faith gets taught and nurtured. And that needs to happen not only on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and so on. You see, a faith that only surfaces on Sunday isn't much of a faith. A real faith, a living faith, impacts every area of our lives. And that will be revealed or not in the home. Is it being revealed in yours? Interestingly, COVID has provided increased opportunity for conversations about faith and living out your faith together. As our world has been overcome by fear and anxiety, we can talk about and experience the peace of God, the hope that Jesus gives, and His promises for His followers. When our world seems like it's spinning out of control, this is the time to talk about how our loving God is in control and He's got the whole world in His hands. As we navigate loss and disappointment, we can experience God's comfort. Look to God's guiding hand. We can rest in His promises. And when we make mistakes or blow it, we can confess it to one another, receive and celebrate Jesus' amazing grace. And folks, this is the time not only to talk about prayer, but to pray. Are you on course in these things? Are you transmitting the faith? Again, I'm not talking about perfection, but intentionality. How is the gospel being lived out in your family? And parents, are you giving leadership to this? Well, there is so much we could consider today about the family, but I want to look at one other passage of Scripture with you this morning that every family has to deal with on a regular basis, and that is discipline. And the passage I want to look at with you is Hebrews 12, 7 to 11. Hear these words. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. This passage goes back and forth between the human family and the spiritual family. The relationship between children and earthly fathers or parents, and the relationship between spiritual children and God our Heavenly Father. One of the perspectives that comes out of this is that guidance for parents comes out of how God deals with us. Now, we will never measure up to the perfection of God, but we should always give thought to how God deals with us as we relate to and guide our children. And the focus of this particular passage is discipline. You see, God loves us. God loves us more than we can possibly comprehend. He gave his one and only Son to save us and so that we would have a home with him for eternity. But it is not a permissive, wishy-washy kind of love. God wants us, and his purpose for us is to mature us in faith and character, to become the people we are designed to be, we are meant to be. And discipline, the scripture is teaching, is part of the process. Likewise, discipline is affirmed as part of the role for parents. And it is important to see that discipline, appropriate and measured, wise discipline, is an act of love. It's consistent with love. Healthy families, strong families, have healthy discipline. Now, I am very aware that this is a controversial topic. It's very important to understand that punishment is not the same as discipline. Discipline is primarily about the process used to develop and train and enable progress or growth. While difficult, on the whole, it is, of course, positive. Punishment is an aspect of discipline for disobedience as a corrective. It is more negative. For example, while studying is a discipline that may not be pleasant, punishment for not studying is even less pleasant. And most of us have likely experienced that at some point in our journey. Listen, great care and thought must be given in the development and carrying out of discipline, and even more so for punishment. Let's be clear that great harm, has been done by parents who have acted rashly, harshly, thoughtlessly. There is nothing God-like about that. Remember that Scripture has powerful warnings regarding human anger. For that, we should always be on our guard. Some families today have maybe too little discipline. Some maybe have too much. There is maybe no more challenging area in which parents need to ask for wisdom and at times seek the counsel of others than this area. But it is an integral part of a healthy family. And every parent needs to regularly evaluate how they are doing in this area, whether they are on course, whether they are providing the necessary and appropriate discipline for the healthy growth and development of their children. Well, there is so much more that could be said, but my time is up. This morning, we have just looked at three characteristics for healthy families: honor, faith transmission, wise discipline. Let me encourage you to take this opportunity, as we've been reflecting on this theme, to talk about your family dynamics, and whether you are on course, or maybe whether there needs to be some course correction to be a strong and healthy family. Our world desperately needs strong and healthy families. I believe that your family can be a point of light in a dark world. May the Spirit of Jesus help us to be that together. Let me lead us in prayer. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to reflect these moments on our families. I hope for most of us, thinking about the family brings very positive, healthy, and good thoughts, that we are experiencing peace and joy and growth in our families. And even as we've navigated this time of COVID, our relationships have gotten stronger. But Father, we know that for many, this is a very difficult topic. And there have been huge errors made, and there are huge challenges. But Father, you are the waymaker. And you, when we turn to you, when we seek you, when we look to you, when we humble ourselves before you, you can change us, you can help us, and you can guide us. Father, we pray for families. We pray for our families, for children, for teenagers, for parents, siblings, aunts and uncles, grandparents, and so on. Help us to honor one another deeply, rightly, appropriately. Father, help us to pass the faith along, to be good transmitters of the faith, not only in word, but in action, in example. And Father, give us wisdom to discipline rightly in ways that really do serve each other, help one another, guide each other, and lead us more and more to you. Shape our families. May we be a light in this dark world. To the glory and honor of your name, I pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.